Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the very bottom of Chof Gimel Mitbeis. Before we begin the shiur, we want to take note of the Mivneh heading, the structural note that you will find in the outside margin in our Gemara marking system pre-marked Shas Ozer edition. You will find that we offer nosim, topic headings, and mivneh, structural notes designed to explain the role of the markings as each new marking appears in each new sugya. In this case, we have a trapezoid or volcano form, volcano shape. You can see in the down lower part of the outside margin, Sidra shel she'elois, a series of questions, be'inyan menachos she'nechleku, regarding menachos, mincha comes in the quantity of an isaron. An isaron is a dry measure. Let us say the isaron was split into two halves. So we're going to feature cases or questions, situations revolving around menachos shenechleku v'hashpoas tuma al hachalokim, and the effects that tuma, that ritual impurity, has when applied to one of these two halves of the isaron that got split. So if you skim ahead, you notice this trapezoid form or volcano form appearing here right at the bottom of Chof Gimel Amud Beis. And you'll notice this form appears a few more times as you go down Chof Dalid Omid Aleph. Turning now to the Gemara. Ki solik Rav Kahana. When Rav Kahana went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinhu Livnei Rabbi Chiya, the Yasvi, the Koamri. He met the sons of Rabbi Chiya that were involved with a Talmudic discussion, and they raised a question, Isaron Shecholkoi. Isaron, as we mentioned, is the dry measure, the quantity required for a meal offering. This Isaron was split. V'hinichoi bebisa, v'noga tvulyoim be'echod mehen mahu. The two halves of the Isaron were placed in a bisa. The bisa is the name of the vessel in which the mincha, the meal offering, is mixed with its oil. The two halves were placed in the bowl, the bisa, and they were not touching each other. Then a tvul yom came along. A tvul yom is an individual that is experiencing a low level of ritual impurity, of tumah. This is a situation where after a person had been in a state of tumah, he then, at the end of his tumah period, immersed himself in a mikveh, and prior to sunset, he is labeled a tvul yom. A tvul yom comes along. In general, a tvul yom is someone that will pasel truma if he touches truma and kochim. He comes along and touches one of the two halves of Isaron, which is sitting in a bowl, together with the other Isaron. As we mentioned, the other half Isaron is not touching it. So the Tvul Yom touched one of the halves. Mahu, does the second half become Tomei? You'll ask, well, he didn't touch the other half. How could the other half become Tomei? So we're going to introduce an idea known as Kli Metzareif, that the vessel in which both halves are sitting tends to join them together, so that by touching one half of the Isaron, maybe the other half is affected. The Gemara raises the question with an Aleph Odilma Beis structure. You see a little Aleph. Fourth line from the top, you'll notice the Odilma expression, squiggle underline, which we do often in our marking system when alternatives are presented. And in this case, the Odomo represents an alternative to analyzing this question. So the Gemara continues, Ki tnan kli mitzarev ma shebesoichoi l'kadesh. When the Mishnah in Chagigah teaches that a vessel joins together that which is inside of it, l'kadesh, Rashi explains that means that if a tevul yom touches part, he in effect ruins everything. Hani mili, maybe that is the case, hecha denagi bahadodi, where the different pieces are touching each other. Aval hecha delo nagi bahadodi, lo. Maybe when the pieces are not touching each other, so the tvul yom's touching one part does not affect the other part. Oy dilma loshna, or maybe it makes no difference, and that even if the other parts are not touching the part that the tvul yom touched, they do become affected. Omar lehu ihu, Rav Kahana responds, Mi tnan kli mechaber? Does the expression kli mechaber appear in the source? The word mechaber indicates that the kli joins together parts that are already in contact with one another, but it doesn't say that. Kli mitzaref tnan, which equals koldehu. Kli mitzaref, the word mitzaref indicates that the vessel joins together even pieces that are not touching each other. Therefore, according to Rav Kahana's response, if the tvul yom touches one part of the meal offering, the chatzi isaron, while sitting in the kli with its fellow chatzi isaron, the other chatzi isaron will become affected, even if it's not touching the half isaron that the tvul yom touched. Another question: Hoishit echod beinehen mahu. We have the two chatzi isaron that we spoke about before. Now, a third chatzi isaron, another half isaron, was placed between the two former chatzoy isaron. A tvul yom came along and touched this middle or third chatzi isaron. The question is, do the former chatzoy isaron become affected? Omar lehu. So Rav Kahana answered their question. This is being another question of theirs. Tzorach lekli kli mitzarfo. Ein tzorach lekli, ein kli mitzarfo. Tzorach lekli means that which needs to be in the vessel, namely the first two half isarons. They need to be in the vessel, so the kli joins them together. However, ein tzorach lekli, like this third chatzi isaron that was just placed between the two original ones, is not necessary. It's not needed. Ein kli mitzarfo. Therefore, the kli does not join it together with the rest. Therefore, the others do not become affected. Another question: Hoshit tvul yom es etzboi beinehen mahu. We have the two chatzoy isaron sitting in the vessel. A tvul yom comes along and places his finger in the airspace between the two chatzoy isaron sitting in the vessel, but does not touch neither one of the chatzoy isaron, nor does he touch the vessel. Do they get affected? Omar luhu, Rav Kahana answers, Ein l'cho dover shemetame me'aviro, elo kli cheres bilvad. Only in the case of an earthenware vessel do you have tumah communicated through airspace. Otherwise, there is no tumah communication or transfer through airspace. Now, hodar ihu bo'o minayhu. Rav Kahana now takes his turn asking them questions. Mahu likmoitz mize alze. We have the two chatzoy isaron sitting in the bisa. They are not touching each other. Can the kemitza, the handful, be removed from one of these two halves, and thereby matir the other chatzi isaron, and by viewing the two half isarons as one mincha unit. So once again, the question, the removal of the handful required in order to allow the remainder of a meal offering to be eaten, let us say the handful is removed from one of these two non-touching each other, chatzoi isaron. Does it matir, does it allow the other one to be eaten as shirayim? Before going on, we have a topic heading that accompanies this piece. In the outside margin, we've written, under the nosei topic heading, Tziruf Kli, the idea of a vessel joining together its contents, even when they are not touching each other. Ha'im hu de'oraisa, is that a mechanism or a power that exists on a Torah level, v'hei tziruf, bein l'chumra bein l'kula, and tziruf will then set in, whether it be for the purposes of stringency, as we saw before in with regard to the realm of tuma communication, bein l'kula will it also, and if you say that it's doraisa, it will serve to join together even for purposes of leniency. Like in our case right now, the removal of the kometz from one chatzi isaron will matir, will allow the other chatzi isaron to be eaten. Oy rak derabonan, or do we say that siruf kli works only on a rabbinic level? And if you say that, v'et siruf rak l'chumra l'tumah, then siruf will operate only when the result is a stringency, like in the case of tumah communication. So that's the question that's been presented. The case of mahu likmotz mizal zeh, the Gemara analyzes siruf d'oraisa oy derabonan. Does this idea of tziruf, of joining together separate pieces, work on a Torah level? If it works on a Torah level, then it works across the boards, whether it be l'chumra or l'kula. Or do you say it works on a purely rabbinic level, and then we would say it works only when stringency results, like in the case of tuma? Omru lo, the B'nai Rabbi Chiya responded, zu loi shamanu, kayotze boi shamanu. Your case, specifically, we did not hear. However, something similar we did hear. Disnan. We have the following Tanaic source. Shnei menachos shelo nikmitzu. Two meal offerings from which the kometz was not removed. Vinis arvu zu bezu. And they got mixed up. Im yochol likmoitz mizu b'fnei atzmo umizu b'fnei atzmo ksheros. If there is a possibility of removing a handful from non-mixed material from each mincha, then they will be allowed. Even though the bulk of the mincha material may in fact be in a mixed state, if there remains sufficient amount of non-mixed mincha from each one to remove a kometz for each one, then they will be kosher. The imlav, if the mixture is total, then psulos, then there is no solution and they are invalid. The Gemara continues and says, ki yochol likmotz miha ksheros. If there is a possibility of removing the kemitza, then the menachos are okay. Now there's a certain supposition that the Gemara is making, is going to make right now. Amai, why do you say it's kosher? Hach demarev ha lo noga. The impression that the Gemara has of this Mishnah is that the unmixed units from which you are going to take the kometz, those unmixed units are each one is set off to the side, so to speak, of the mincha material that is mixed. So that what you have, in effect, is the mincha, the kometz, is going to be allowing the remainder that's not in contact with it. The Rashi, a couple lines down from here, says, Mizu b'fnei atzma. This was in the source we saw this expression. Mashma she'oy made mizu b'tzad hakli k'dei komets she'enu me'urov v'chein b'zu. It's mashma. It seems that the amount that's sufficient for the komets, which if it exists in an unmixed fashion, unmixed with the other mincha, is set off to the side in the vessel and not mixed with the rest. And the same thing with the other mincha. So the next Rashi, Hach de ma'arev holonoga ba'komets, the part that's mixed is not in contact with the komets, v'katonik sheros. And yet you see that by the removal of the komets, unmixed meal material, it's matir, the remainder. Al motziruf doraisa. So you see that the fact that it's in the same vessel as the mixed section, the mixed portion of the meal offering, is okay. The fact that it's in the vessel enables the komets to become associated with the mixed material, even though the komets is not touching it. So this is what this is the direction, so to speak, that the B'nai Rabbi Chiya are taking in responding to Rav Kahana's question. Rav Kahana asked, can kmitza be taken from one of the Chatzoi Sor and Matir, the other that is not in contact with it? We see from the way the B'nai Rabbi Chiya are learning the Mishnah that it is possible to do that. Omar Rava. Rava responds with a rejection, and he says that Dilma Begushin Hamechulokin Huasuyin Kemasrek. Masrek is a comb. It could be that the mixture that's described in the Mishnah of these two menachos that are mixed together, it's not as if, as was supposed by the B'nai Rabbi Chiya, that the komets material or the komets meal material that is being separated or taken off is simply disjointed and disconnected from the rest of the meal material. Rava says rather it may be that the mixture is in the form of a masrek. We attempted to offer an illustration. Our hope in our Gemara markings presentation is that this illustration has some semblance to accuracy. If you look at the inside margin, we have a little diagram entitled Kemasrek. What we see there are, we're supposed to be imagining that, we're looking at it from above, two menachos that are they have a shape of a comb, if you will. The nature of a comb is that it has the upper bar, attached to it are it's the teeth of the comb, so that these two menachos are mixed together in this fashion, where the teeth of each one are interlocked with the other. However, there is a part of the mincha that is attached but not mixed. Attached but not mixed. And we've indicated this with the little insertion in the diagram, kidei komets, called the bar of the comb section. From that, you'll take the komets. It is true that the other part of the mincha is mixed in with the other mincha. That's where the teeth sort of come together. That represents the part that's mixed. But the part that's not mixed, from which you will be drawing the komets, is the bar section of the comb. And unlike the scenario that Rav Kahana was asking about something that's detached, here you can see that the kidei komets is in effect attached to the rest of the mincha that is mixed with the other mincha. So there is attachment here, and therefore it's effective. What would happen if the kidei komets was totally detached from the shirayim? That we would not know. The Gemara actually wants to know, well, so what is the din? My havi Allah. What is the din with regard to two chatzoyin, two half isarons that are split, they're separated from each other? Can you take the kometz from one of the chatzei isaron and rely on siruf kli? Omar Rava Ta Shma. So he attempts to bring an answer in a teretz. We've labeled this as a long answer marking with a tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. Following his four-line response, the Gemara will then reject it with a dechia, and that's indicated with the dalet that's encircled and a further vertical dashed line. The lines of the Gemara that are opposite the dashed vertical lines are the lines that correspond to each one of these actions. The first, the teretz, and then the dechia. The Gemara, Omar Rava Toshma, Desanya. The brisa features a pasuk veheirim mimenu. This has to do with the removal of the handful, the kometz min hamachubar shelo yovi isaron b'shnei kelim veyikmotz. The source is teaching that we don't want you to bring the isaron quantity split into two separate vessels, and then take the handful from one of the halves of Isaron that's sitting in one of the vessels and expect it to matir the half Isaron in the other vessel. So that is what one is not allowed to do. However, if you would have a situation of the two half Isaron that are in one vessel in a fashion similar to two vessels, namely just like in two vessels the halves are not touching each other, the two half Isarons are not touching each other, so to the inferred case, the ha word is circled, this represents the duke, the inference that we're trying to draw from the source. So what's the parallel? The parallel is that while in one source the two halves are also not touching each other. However, when is there a restriction? That's only when they're in two separate vessels. But if they're in one vessel, even if the two half Isarons don't happen to be touching each other, kometz, you are allowed to remove the kometz. And that would answer the question. So that, according to this, there is no need for the two half Isarons to be touching as long as they are in the same vessel. Omar le Abaye, Dilma Shnei Kelim. Maybe the reference in this Tanaic source to two vessels isn't like we thought, two separate vessels. Hechi Domi Kegoin Kepizo Bekavo. These are names of measuring vessels. A kav is a measure, and you would have to imagine, and we have a little illustration to accompany this, the case of the kapiza bakava, on the inside margin, where there's an attempt to illustrate a vessel, and you can see through the captions that we have, there's a kli chitzoni, an outer vessel, and a kli pnimi, an inner vessel. So if you have any experience with, let us say, carving out of wood, if you had a block of wood and you carved out the wood, constructing a receptacle, and that receptacle had it an inner receptacle also carved out. So you have outer walls of a particular vessel and inner walls to the vessel. That's a kapiza bekava. Kapiza being the smaller vessel within a larger vessel. So that's an example of two vessels. And the Tanaic source says that you cannot take the kamitza from that and expect it to matir all of the contents. The afalgav de arivi me'aloi, in a case of the kapiza bekava situation, where there is in fact a form of contact between the two, the inner and the outer, and that's in the mi'iloi. Mi'iloi is from above, what's called the godesh. The godesh is the heaping. If you were to fill up this this vessel as is illustrated with a in a heaping fashion. So at the point of heaping, there is a, we'll call it a connection between the inner and outer vessel. However, kevon de mifsak mechitzta de kapisa mitata, since the walls of the inner vessel separate its contents from that which is contained within the outer walls, therefore you cannot take the komets and take the komets from this vessel filled up, even if it's filled up in a heaped fashion, and expect the komets that you take to matir the entire contents. And why not? Because the mechitzis of the inner vessel separate the that which it contains from that which is contained within the outer walls. However, let us now draw an inference. What Abaye just described was what the Tanaic source may very well be teaching. And by the way, this idea of two vessels is a situation where they're not two separate vessels like we thought originally, but rather it's one vessel within the other vessel, the inner vessel having walls reaching the same height as the height of the walls of the outer vessel. In this case, the mincha was poured into this vessel in a heaping fashion, and we're saying that the source is teaching me you cannot take the komets from that situation. However, now let's infer ha kli echad dumya d'shnei kelim. However, if you had one vessel similar to two, and this style of learning is this, we circled the ha, it's very similar to what was done by Rava when he originally presented his answer. He had the source and then drew an inference from it. We're going to do the same thing here. Notice it's the same expression. However, if you had one vessel similar to the two, heichi domi, and what would be this case from which we are going to draw our conclusion? Kegon, a reivto shel tarnagolin. We have an illustration for this as well. This is a side view of the vessel. There's a, we'll call it an outer vessel and an inner vessel. The inner vessel has walls that are lower than the walls of the outer vessel. And now it's filled up to the rim with mincha material. And you're going to take the komets from this vessel. And we say, v'afagav de mifsikon mechitzta, even though there is a separation formed by walls, the inner vessel has its own walls, nevertheless, ha negia, there is contact between the two, that which is contained within the outer vessel and that which is contained within the vessel. There is contact, ha negia. Where do you see the negia? You can looking at our illustration, the point above the inner vessel is filled with mincha material, so there's contact. There's contact within the airspace of the vessel. So as a result of that, a komets can be taken from the material in this areifta shel tarnagolim and motzi and pater and matir the rest of the mincha, the shirayim. However, aval hocha, but the case that Rabbi Rav Kahana had asked of the Bnei Rabbi Chia, the lo negia, klal, there is no contact whatsoever. We have the two half isaron sitting in one vessel without any contact between the meal contents of one half isaron and the other. Tiboy aloch, that will remain a question. A new question. Boy Rabbi Yirmiya. Tziruf kli v'chibur mayim mahu. Before going on in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our little illustrations. With all good intent, we must apologize that the illustrations were not produced by the likes of Leonardo da Vinci, but hopefully they will be sufficient for illustrating our sugya. You'll notice we have a little double star drawing your attention to the diagram entitled Tziruf Kli V'Chibur Mayim. We've illustrated with numbers 1, 2, and 3. These are Chatzoi Isoron. We have underneath the diagram, which, by the way, is an aerial view, we have a vessel entitled Kli. We have a Chatzi Isoron. You can see there's a little arrow above it pointing down to the number 1 calling, and it was entitled Noga Bo Tuma. Tuma touched one Chatzi Isoron while sitting in the vessel together with another Chatzi Isoron. That's the number 2. Between number 2 and 3, there's a little pipe of water or a stream of water connecting 2 with 3. So underneath this illustration, we've included number 1, Chatzi Isoron Besoch Kli V'Noga Bo Tuma. We have that half Isoron of meal material, and Tuma touched it. Then we have the little 2. It says, Chatzi Isoron Sheni Besoch Kli, a second half Isoron in the vessel, V'Nitmo Mikoach Tziruv Kli. It becomes Tomei through the institution of Tziruv Kli, which we discussed at the top of our Daf Gemara. So far, that should be clear, that number 2 is affected by the Tuma that had touched number 1. Now, the Chatzi Soron Zeh Nogeh B'mayim Shemechuber Le'Sholosh. Number 2 is in contact with water that is simultaneously in contact with 3. So the water, or the tsinor, the tube of water, serves to connect 2 with 3. Number 3, we have Chatzi Soron Mechutz L'Kli, the Chatzi Soron that's outside the Kli. Ha'im Hu Nitmo Derech Chibur Hamayim L'Tu. Does 3 become Tomei by virtue of the fact that it is connected through the stream of water to number 2? We mentioned that 2 became Tomei by virtue of Tziruv Kli together with 1. The Gemara will go on to present an opposite case, which we have not illustrated, because we can use this illustration, where instead of the Tuma touching 1, there will be a case where Tuma touches number 3. Tuma will touch 3. That will have an effect on 2 because of the contact that they have through the Mayim, through the water. The question will then be asked, does 1 become affected? Now to the Gemara. Boy Reb Yirmiya, Tziruf Kli V'chibur Mayim Mahu. The order here is important because the first stage is where the Tuma touched Chatzi Soron number 1. That had an effect on Chatzi Soron number 2. The question is, Mahu, does the Chibur Mayim from 2 to 3 cause 3 to become Tamei? Ki Tnan, the question continues, and you'll see that the Gemara appears in stages. Ki Tnan Kli Mitzarif Mashav Socho LeKadesh. When is this Tziruv Kli in effect? When does it take hold? Hanimili DeGavoy. That works with respect to that which is contained within the vessel. Aval DeBaroi Loi. However, regarding that which is outside the vessel, the concept of Kli Mitzaref will not have any effect. If that be the case, we're saying that even though 2 does become affected through Tziruv Kli together with 1, however, that power cannot go beyond the walls of that vessel. Oidilma, or do we say Kivon de Mechaber Mechaber? Since 3 is attached to 2 through the water, that is good enough reason for 3 to become affected. V'im tim selomar kivon de mechaber mechaber, and if you say that the fact that there is a connection is good enough reason for 3 to become affected, what about the next case? We've called this, you can see, we've used a little Roman numeral number 2 with a volcano form around it, because this is now a second level or a variation of number of the first case. Also, the numberings are a continuation of the numberings used before. We're featuring a 2 and then a 1 to give the impression that this is a question raised in the opposite direction. Chibur Mayim, the tziruf kli. V'noga tvulyom mibachutz mahu. The chibur mayim is between, what in our illustration, between 3 and 2. And then the tziruf kli is between 2 and 1. V'noga tvulyom mibachutz, the tvulyom touched number 3. Mahu. What is the din here with regard to number 1? Ki tnan kli mitzarev. Hanimili de noga migavoi. When we teach that the kli mitzarf, that the kli has this power of joining together, that is true when the initial tuma contact was from within the vessel. Avo mibaroi lo. But in this case, where the initial contact of the tuma was from outside, baroi outside the vessel, namely the contact between the tuma and number 3, then we don't say kli mitzarif. And one will not be affected. Oidilma lo shno. Or maybe we do not make this distinction. Namely, that even if the contact with the tuma is from the outside, it nevertheless, since it affects two, kli mitzarif will take effect and affect one as well. Teku. This remains unresolved. We continue with questions concerning half isorons and tuma, and we have a new topic heading for this, the nosei, mi amrinon sova le tuma. Are we to entertain the possibility of saturation point with regard to tuma absorption? Sova literally means satisfied. When something is saturated, so it cannot absorb any more. It's reached its saturation point. Saturation points are usually associated with something of a physical nature. For example, a sponge that's saturated with water. It can't absorb any more water. We're going to borrow this idea and apply it to the realm of tuma. If an item became tome, it's maybe viewed as saturated or filled with tuma, it can no longer become any more tome. That would be an illustration in a superficial fashion of sova le tuma. It may be pointed out, as we'll see later in the Gemara, that the concept of sova le tuma would apply when you're dealing with a second tuma that's on the same level as the first tuma that was absorbed into the item in question. However, if you have, let us say, an item that became tome by virtue of a low-level tuma, and then a subsequent, more potent form of tuma had contact with the original item, then we wouldn't say sova le tuma. Boi rova, isoron shechokoi, an isoron which was divided. Isoron is the meal, is the quantity required for a meal offering, so it was divided. V'nitma echod mehen, and one half of the isoron, one of the two halves, became tomei. And after it became tomei, v'hinichoi bebisa, after it became tomei, it was placed into the bowl, and it's together in a bowl with the other chatzi isoron that was that's tohor. The chozar tvulyoim v'noga bo'oisoi tomei, and a tvulyom came along and touched the item that had already been tomei. He now touched it while it's in the bowl with the other chatzi isoron that's tohor. Now, we have learned up till this point that if you had two chatzoi soron, neither of which had been tomei, and a tvul yom came and touched one of them, so while in the kli with the other, so the tuma will carry over to the other chatzi soron, even though the tvul yom did not touch it, and that operated through tziruv kli. In this case, the tvul yom, it may be obvious, but we'll say it anyway. The fact that you placed a tomei isoron in the kli together with a tohor isoron that itself won't be, Tziruv Kli won't operate. Tziruv Kli operates when a Tvul Yom, or let's say when the initial Tumah takes place while in the Kli. However, in this case, the Tvul Yom is, although it's the first time the Tvul Yom is coming with regard to the interior of the Kli, he comes and touches a piece of meal material, the chatzison, that already had been tome. Does this create a situation that the other chatzison will also become tome or not? Before we go on, we have a new geometric form. We have a triangle with a colored in tip. This is explained under the Mivneh heading, the outside margin, with the tip facing upwards. This will try to convey the feeling, Kayom Efsharus, that there exists a possibility, Lomar Sava Le Tuma, that Tuma does reach a saturation point, namely that further Tuma will have no effect. With the triangle flipping over, point facing down, Nisyonos Lidchois, attempts to reject that which we just said, Volomar, and to suggest, Deloi Amrinon Sava Le Tuma, that we don't say that there exists such a concept, and that subsequent Tuma can always be imposed or absorbed into that which was already Tame. So we continue in the Gemara, three lines from the bottom, Mahu, Mi Amrinon Sava Le Tuma Oiloi. The fact that that there are two possibilities, one of the two possibilities suggests there could be a phenomenon of Sava Le Tuma. Hence we have our triangle with the point facing up. Now if you say Sava Le Tuma, that would then mean that the second Chatzison will not become affected, because the Tevul Yom touching that which is already that which was already Tame, his contact with it would have no effect. If it would have no effect, then the second Chatzisaron will not become Tame. Omar Le Abaye. Abaye challenges that whole side of the analysis. Umi Amrinon Sava Le Tuma. Do we even entertain such a concept? Now, according to Abaye's approach, it would seem that if the Tvul Yom were to touch that which was already Tame, the other Chatzison would certainly become affected, because his touching now would have an effect. Because according to Abaye's approach, we don't apply this idea of saturation point with regard to Tuma. So Abaye brings that whole theory into question. Umi Amrinon Sava Le Tuma Vahatna. We have the following Tanaic source, Sadin Tome Medris. Sadin is a sheet of material that had absorbed Tumas Medris. Tumas Medris is the Tuma that's imparted to items designed for sitting. For example, sheets and chairs and beds that are sat upon by certain kinds of Tomei individuals. For example, a Mitzora or a Nida that sits on a chair or on a sheet, they will impart Tumas Medris to that. With upon absorbing Tumas Medris, that item can communicate Tuma to people and to vessels. So let us imagine we have a sheet that had once had been sat upon by a Mitzora. This is a sodin tome medris. The asau vilon. He then hung this sheet up in a permanent fashion to serve as a curtain. He hung it up in front of an entranceway to serve as a curtain in front of the entranceway. Tohor mina medris. It loses its medris status. That means that at this point, if a person comes into contact with this former sheet, now curtain, the person will not become tomei, Avol tome mago medras. The sheep, nevertheless, has a level of tuma called mago medras, which means that it could still affect, in a tuma way, food items. Mago medras is a something that had contact with a medras. Omar Rabbi Yossi v'chi be'eze medras noga zeh. We have the sheet. This sheet didn't touch a medras. A medras being a chair or a bed or another sheet. It didn't touch something that had been a medras. All of those examples, of course, were a situation where a mitzora or a nido or a zav had sat upon them. This sheet that once a zav or a nido had sat upon, it didn't touch another bed or another sheet that had been tome tumas medras. Elo she'im noga bo hazav tome mago hazov. Rav Yossi says that if you have this sheet that had been a medras, had been tome medras, and this sheet were hung up as a curtain, if originally a zav happened to have touched the sheet, so the sheet would have a tuma status, even though after being hung up it will no longer have a medras status, since a zav once touched the sheet, didn't sit upon it, but he touched it, it would have the status of mago hazov. Mago hazov, as we mentioned before, in the context of mago medras, mago hazov would be an item that could communicate tuma to food and drink. The Gemara now carries on with its analysis. Ki noga bo hazov miho tome. If a zav were to have touched this sheet, the afilu libesof, namely, after the sheet had been a tome medras. Rabbi Yossi is describing a case where after it had been a tome medras, if a zav happened to have touched the sheet, his touching it would leave a lasting effect. Namely, what do we mean by a lasting effect? That means that even if the sheet were hung up, and as a result of that it loses its medras status, and that's because it's no longer designed for sitting on, nevertheless, if a zav happened to have touched it in the past, even after it had become a medras, this status of maga hazov would remain on this sheet, which is now a curtain. Ve'amai, why would the touching of the zav of a sheet that had already been tome medras, why would his touching leave any lasting impression? Lema, why not say sovale tuma? Once it had become a medras, it would have been said to be saturated with tuma, and yet we don't say that. We say that we're describing right now a sheet that did have a medras status. Azav then touched it. Once the sheet is hung up, it loses the medras status because it's no longer designed for sitting on. But nevertheless, the mago hazov status remains. That shows we don't say sova leituma. It shows that we don't say that once it had become once that sheet had been tome medras, that it's saturated with tuma and there's no longer any room for the mago hazov to take effect. We don't say that. That is Abaye's point. Namely, we don't say sovale tuma. Omar le, Rova responds. You'll notice the point is facing up. That will indicate that in the next couple lines, we will reintroduce the possibility of saying that there is sova le tuma. There is a saturation tuma point reached. Umimai dehai sheim hazim nogabo hazav. Notice this is a quote using the, we have arrows to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara to show you where this is coming from. Rava is saying, who is to say that the case of the zav touching the sheet, lebosar medris, that it took place after the sheet gained the medris status? And if you were to have said that, then in fact we would have concluded that you don't say Savalei Tumah. Dilma, maybe Mekami Medris. Maybe the Zav's contact with the sheet that Rabbi Yossi described was prior to the sheet becoming a Medris. In other words, the order of events here is very important. That you had a sheet, its first contact with Tumah was a Zav touching the sheet, not sitting on it. That would impart a Mago Hazov status to it, which is a lower form of Tumah. Dahavya Tumah Chamura al Tumah Kala. That would set up a situation of first the Nogabo Zav, first the Zav touches it, then it becoming a Medris. If after the Zav touched it, the Zav sat on it, the sitting on it would be a phenomenon of Tumah Chamura, Medris, being imposed upon Tumah Kala, the Mago Hazov state. And as we mentioned in our introduction to this section, no one denies that a high level of Tumah, no one denies that it can be imposed upon a lower level of Tumah. We don't say Savalei Tumah under those circumstances. So Rava is saying that, listen, from the Vilon story, you cannot conclude that we don't say Savalei Tumah. Maybe there is Savalei Tumah. It's just that in the case of the curtain story, the Tumah increased in severity, and that's why there was no Savalei Tumah. Aval Hocha, with regard to the Shnei Yisroinos, the Idi Vidi Tumah Kala, in both cases you're dealing with Tumas Oichlin, lo, there is no room for increasing of Tumah, and therefore it could very well be that the second Tumah will not have any effect because of Savalei Tumah. And of course the nafkamina is, as we said before, if the Tvuyon touches an already Tomei Chatzi Yisaron, his touching of it will have no effect on that piece, and therefore the other piece that's in the Bisa will not become Tomei. So, up till this point, the last couple lines, we saw Rava arguing that there may, yes, be a concept of Savalei Tumah. Elo Misefa. Notice the triangle just flipped over. This flipped over triangle is going to indicate that which we are about to see will show us that we don't say Savalei Tumah. Namely, no Tumah saturation point is reached. Let's see the case. The Seifa of the Tanaic source says, Moida Rabbi Yossi, B'shnei Sdinin HaMekupolin, U'munochim Ze Al Ze. If you have two sheets that are folded up, laying one upon the other, V'yoshav Zav Alehen, and a Zav came along and sat on them, Sh'elyoin Tomei Medris, the upper one, upper sheet, the one that the Zav sat on directly, is Tomei Medris. V'hatachton, the sheet underneath it, which is underneath while the Zav is sitting on the upper sheet, there's a stack of sheets. So the lower ones, Tomei Medris, Umago Medris. The lower sheets are, let's say, the second sheet, is Tomei Medris. That's by virtue of the fact that a Zav is sitting on it. There's a rule that says Medris forms or comes about even if you've got 10 mattresses, one under the other, and a zav sits on the top mattress, they all become tameh. By the way, the word mattress is very similar to the word medris. Food for thought. The second sheet, in addition to it being medris by virtue of the fact that a zav was sitting above it, sitting on it, but not directly, it does become a medris. It also is described as a maga medris. It, that second sheet, came into contact with the first sheet while the zav was sitting on it. The amai. Why does that second sheet get this maga medris state? Lema savale tuma. We should point out before going further that the practical ramifications of describing something as maga medris, in addition to its being medris, is something we mentioned earlier in our shiur, and that is if you have something that is a medris, but it's then, let's say, redefined or reassigned to some role other than for sitting, like the case of the curtain, which the sheet converted into curtain. As a sheet, it's subject to medris. If you make it into a curtain, it loses the medris status. However, if it happened to have a maga medris status, that's not affected by the change in role that the item has. So in the case of this second sheet, the question is, if there exists something called savalei tuma, once it's defined as a medris, how is there any room for it to become defined as a maga medris as well? So from the fact that it gets this state of maga medris as well, shows us that we do not say sova le tuma. Notice the triangle now repositions itself upwards, indicating that there still is room to say sova le tuma. Hosom bevas achas. In that case, the two tumas status set in at one time. As soon as the zav sat on the upper sheep, the lower sheep simultaneously became a medris and a maga medris. That's why the second tuma sets in. However, hocha boze acharze, here with the case of the isroinus, you've got the tumah happening in a succeeding or subsequent fashion, and it could be that the second tumah experience or contact with tumah will not take effect because there is a concept of sova le tumah. Let's go over this last point with regard to the chatzi sarum that had become tumah before it was placed in the vessel. It absorbed its, we'll call, maximum tuma level. Then it was placed in the bowl together with the other chatzi sarum that's tohor. A tvul yom came and touched the chatzi sarum that was already tumi. That's a case of ze achar ze. The second contact with the tvul yom happened. As we said, a second contact. It happened after the chatzison was already tomei. It could be that in that case, the second contact with the tuyom will have no effect because of sova le tuma. Before going further in the Gemara, we have a nosei mivne heading in the outside margin. We feature here Roman numeral 1 and 2. 1 is associated with Tuma. The second is associated with Kemitza. You'll see diamonds in this Gemara around Rava and Abaye. We continue in our note. Roman numeral 1 and 2. Shnei Nafgaminis. Like there will be two practical applications or outcomes that we labeled above, Tuma and Kemitza. They will represent the practical applications, Legabi Mikre, regarding the following situation. Mikre shel Isoron Shenechlak. If you had a mincha made of an Isoron of meal, of grain material, flour. And the ison was split into two halves. The ovad echod mehen. And one half of the mincha got lost. He needs a full ison to fulfill his mincha obligation. The hifrish achir tachtov. And he set aside a second chatzi ison to replace that which was lost. The nimtzo harishon. And in the meantime, the first chatzi ison was found. Vareshloshton munochim bebisa. Now I have three half isorons sitting in the bowl. Yesh levarer lefi rava. We will have to explain and clarify according to Rava. This is Rava as opposed to Abai. We'll see Abai has a different approach. But according to Rava, there will be need to investigate hakesher, the connection, the legal connection, bein hamufrosh, between that which was set aside as a replacement chatzisaron, lechatzoyin harishonim, its connection to the first two halves that were part of the original mincha. When we talk about the first two halves of the original mincha, one must bear in mind that one of those two halves happened to have gotten lost in the interim and was then found. We will see the expression that we've double underlined, Kulu b'nei biksa dehadodi ninhu. This is Abaye's description of the situation or the relationship of the various half isorons one to the other. Kulu b'nei biksa dehadodi ninhu, he says they're all part of the same house, so to speak. Now, let's get into the details by going to the Gemara. Omar Rava, isoron shecholko. Before going too much further, though, let's take note of the fact that we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. If you skim down a few lines, you'll see a Roman numeral number 2. And on that line, you see a dashed underlining, v'chein le'inyan kamitza. That means that Roman numeral 1 will deal with the inyan of tuma, and then the Gemara will try to parallel this to the inyan of taking a handful. The Gemara, once again, by the diamond, Rava. Omar Rava, Isaron Shechoko, you had an Isaron that was divided into half, two halves, the Ovad Echod Mehen, and one of the two halves was lost, got lost, the Hifrish Achir Tachtov, a third half Isaron was set aside to replace the one half that was lost, the Nimtzo HaRishon, and the first one was found. We're going to call it the Ovud. Ovud means the lost one, but it was now found. Vare Shloshtan Munochin Bebisa. And the three half Isarons are sitting in a bowl. If you skim down the next couple lines, you'll see some underlinings with numbers. Number 1, the next line diagonally to your left, number 2, and finally the line after that diagonally to your, three, to the, your left, a number 3. Notice, case 1 features Nitma Ovud, case 2 features Nitma Mufrosh, and case 3 features Nitma Rishon. The word Rishon, we'll have to be careful with that word. It simply means the original Chatzi Isaron that was not lost. So let's go over now the three cases. Nitma Ovud. Let us say that the chatzi soron that got lost, subsequently found and is sitting, as we said, together with the other two chatzi sorons in the same bowl. Now, this chatzi soron that got lost became tome while in the bowl. For we had these cases before. Let us say a tfuyom touched the ovud. Ovud v'rishon mitstarfin. The ovud, that really was an original chatzi soron. It just happened to get lost. It was part of the second chatzi soron that was never lost. Those are related to one another. Ovud v'rishon mitstarfin, which means the second chatzi soron, which had been there, rishon means from the beginning, will become affected. They'll mitzdaref. They'll join together, and they'll be and the original chasisos that was never lost will become tame because of this ovud one that just now came into contact with tuma while sitting in the vessel. Mufrosh ein mitzdaref. The replacement chatzisoron will not join together. Kli mitzarf will not affect it to cause it to become tomei. Let's bear in mind that when we spoke about it being set aside, it was set aside to replace the avud. It was never in the picture to be together with the avud, so to speak. It was there in lieu of the avud. Therefore, when the ovud becomes is back in the picture and the tumah touches it, the mufrash, the replacement one, has no shaychus, no connection to it. Case number two, nitma mufrash. The replacement one came into contact with tumah. The replacement one was there to benefit which chatzisaron? It was there to benefit the original chatzisaron that never got lost. Therefore, mufrosh verishon mitzdarfin, the mufrosh, the replacement one, and the original chatzisaron that never got lost, they join together, and join together means that kli mitzarif to mitame the rishon as well. Avud ein mitzdarif, but the avud will not become affected, because the Ovud, for all intents and purposes, doesn't belong here from the standpoint of the Mufrosh. The Mufrosh was brought into the picture only because the Ovud was expected never to be found. So the Tumah affecting the Mufrosh affects it to the exclusion, so to speak, of the Ovud. Nitmo Rishon, the original Chatzisaron that never got lost, it became Tomei. Shnehem mitzdarfin. Rava will tell you that both Chatzisaron will be affected. That original Chatzisaron that never got lost, well, it had an original kesher, an original connection to the Chatzisaron that became lost. Obviously, they were set aside together. This second chatzisaron that never got lost also has a connection to the mufrash, because the mufrash was brought into the picture to benefit that original chatzisaron that never got lost. So both are affected. Abaye Omar, afilu nitmo echod mehen, nami shnei mitzdarfin. Abaye says it doesn't matter which one became tomei. The other two will be affected. My taimo, kulu b'nei biksa dahadodi ninhu. They're all part of the same picture, the same house. In other words, all these three different chatzoi son are coming mikoyach one mincha. One was there as part of the original separation, the original mincha, and the other is there to replace that which was lost, to benefit that original mincha. V'chein le'inyan kamitza. The same analysis will apply with regard to the taking of the handful, and the taking a handful thereby being matir, allowing the shirayim to be eaten. The Gemara will explain itself, and this section will be very parallel to the first. Roman numeral number one. Rava opens up. We wrote in Rava because his name doesn't appear, but we want you to see the contrast between Rava and Abaye a few lines later. Therefore, we wrote his name in and diamonded it as well. Komatz min ha'avud. We have these three half isaron sitting in the bowl. He took the handful from the chatzisaron that had been lost and subsequently found. Shiorov verishon necholim. The handful allows the chatzisaron from which it was taken to become mutar, and the rishon is that's a reference to the chatzisaron that was there originally, never lost. Mufrosh Eino Nechal. The third Chatzisaron that was brought into the picture as a replacement for the lost one, that cannot be eaten. In other words, there's no kumetz taken to represent it. Because it's, since the kumetz is taken from the ovud, that in effect is a type of declaration that the mufrosh is totally unnecessary. Therefore, the kumetzah has no effect on it. Case 2, komatz min hamufrosh. Let's say the handful was taken from the replacement chatzisaron. The replacement chatzisaron was brought in to benefit what was called the rishon. The rishon means the original chatzisaron that never got lost. Therefore, shiorov, its remainder, the rishon, necholin. The kmitza helps to allow the shirayim of it, of the mufrosh and the original chatzisaron that was never lost to be eaten, ovud, eino nechal. But the ovud is not to be eaten whatsoever. By virtue of the fact that the kmitza is taken from the mufrosh, it's in effect a demonstration that the ovud, even though it may have been found, is really not necessary anymore. Therefore, the kmitza has no effect on it. Komatz min harishon, if the kmitza was taken from that chatzisaron that was there from the beginning, shnehem einon ne'echolin. Since the other two chatzisaron are associated with this, what's called this, which is labeled rishon, but we're not sure which one has a greater association with it, and we know that a kometz is matir only an isaron, not an isaron v'chitzi. So the two other chatzisaron do not receive the benefit of this kmitza. Abaye Omar, afilu komatz me'echod mehen, shnehen einon ne'echolin. Abaye says, no matter which chatzisaron the kmitza was taken from, each chatzisaron is associated one with the other. So in effect, you have a kometz being taken to matir, we'll say, one and a half isaron, and it's not capable of matir so much. Therefore, the kmitza from any one of these chatzisaron cannot matir the others. My taimo, kulu nami b'nei b'gzodat odininu. The reason is that they are all considered part of the same house. They're all related to one another. They all come by virtue of the fact that there was an original mincha that needed to be processed. And therefore, the kmitza from any one of them cannot matir the other two. By the way, it's mashma from here that the kmitza that is taken is matir at most the half isaron from which it was taken, so that though that could be eaten, but the other chatzor isaron cannot be eaten. As we go further in the Gemara, we have a new geometric form. This volcano shape is described in the outside margin under the Nosei Hemshech. This is a continuation of the same topic, Mivneh, with a structural note. The volcano form represents Pirchois. Their challenges, Al Mashmois Dinoi Shel Abaye, challenges to that which Abaye seemed to indicate, Shehakometz Matir Achatzi Soron Didei, that the removal of the handful is Matir the half isaron itself from which it was removed. So that we'll see two challenges to that, but eventually there will be an inverted volcano, which will say that the challenges are not challenges, and that that which Abaye implies remains. Maskif lo Rav Popo, v'shirayim didei miho necholin, and the remainder of the chatzisaron from which the kometz itself was removed can be eaten? Is that really so? Ha'ika danka de kometz de lo koriv. The word danka, there are other girsos that say tilsa, a third of the kometz is not being offered. What do we mean by that? Since the, as Abaye put it, since the komets, since the three Isronis are interrelated, when you take the handful, the handful, in effect, represents three Chatzoi Isaron. However, one of them is not necessary. So therefore, a third of your handful is considered material that really should not be offered. Therefore, you have a handful that's missing a third of what should be there. In other words, you're supposed to have a full handful, but since one of these Chatzoi Soron, which is represented in this handful, as Abaye said, they're all interrelated, but since a third of the handful represents one of the three Chatzoi Soron that really is not part of the Mincha, we simply are just unsure of which one is not to be considered part of the Mincha, but nevertheless that leaves you with the situation of the handful having a third of it with unnecessary or unacceptable material. So you in effect have a missing handful. Let's take a look at the Rashi. The third line under the Gemara text, the Rashi says, "Vo'ika danko de koimetz de lo korev da tilsa de hai kunsa." A third of this handful, eino choshuv, is not of significance. Why? De machmas chatzi isaron hashlishi hu. It's there because of the third half isaron. Sharei shloshtan huzkiku lekoimetzeh. The three of them are associated or with this particular handful. Hilkoch have a high koimetz choser tilsa. Therefore, this handful is in effect missing a third. Turning back to the Gemara, Maskif law, Rav Yitzchok Breider of Mesharshia, the komets gufei hechi koriv, the komets itself, how can it be placed on the fire? Ha ika tilsa chulin. A third of it is, in effect, chulin is since a third of it is unnecessary, it's in effect chulin, and chulin being unconsecrated, unsanctified material shouldn't be placed on the mizbeach in the first place. So Rav Yitzchok is in the same, going along the same lines as Rav Papa, indicating that this is an ineffective koimetz. Omar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi rebuffs what they said. And this you can see in the Rashi, toward the bottom of the page, Omar Rav Ashi, he says, Hanoch tarti pirche, the two objections that we saw, lav pirche, they are not objections. The kevon de lo komatz elo minho echod, kemitzas hamincha, since the handful was taken from only one of the three Chatzoi Soron. It's not as if he took a handful, one third of a handful from each one of the Chatzoi Soron. He didn't do that. He took a complete handful from one of the three Chatzoi Soron that were there. So the Rashi says, "Kim the lo komas elo mino echad kemitzas hamincha b'daita dekoyin talya." The taking of the handful is dependent on what's in the mind of the Kohen. The Kohen ki komatz, when the Kohen takes the handful, adaito the isaron chad hu the komatz. He intends that the komatz is coming to allow one isaron, not one and a half, but one isaron. Hilkoch, komatz korev, the komatz can be offered. Shiore Rishon Necholin, the Shirayim of the first Chatzi Soron, namely for the Chatzi Soron from which it's taken, can be eaten. However, Vashnayim Einon Necholin, the two other Chatzoi Soron cannot be eaten, Mishum De'ein Lamod Al Sofo, Ezu mehen nitzarif imorishon bedas hakohen lios nita bekometz, because we don't know what was in the kohen's head, what he was thinking about when he which of the other two chatzoi ison he intended for this handful to be matir. But as far as the objection that the handful contains within it a representation of all three Chatzoi Soron, which would have caused the problems that Rav Popa and Rav Yitzchok raised, that's simply not true. When the Kohen takes the handful, he takes it from one Chatzi Soron with the intention of it representing only one other Chatzi Soron, and not the other, not all three of them. Let's just read that now in the Gemara itself. Omer Rav Ashi, Koimetz Bedaito de Koyin Talya Milsa. The taking of the handful and what it affects is all dependent on the Kohen's thoughts. The Kohen he komets, and the Kohen, when he takes his handful, Aisoron ko komets, he intends the komets to matir one full Isaron and not one and a half. And therefore, the problems that Rav Popa and Rav Yitzchok raised are non-issues. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.